Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your source for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We're joined today by Jane Kelly, co-founder of Eat Your Books. Thanks so much for talking with us today, Jane.
Great to be here, Kara.
Before we get started, a quick word from our podcast sponsor. I'll admit it, I was getting into the habit of stopping for a cup of coffee before work, but the cost and time adds up. Then I discovered DripJoy.com. They've reinvented single-serve coffee from the brewer to the bean to their automated delivery. Whoever said single-serve coffee will never be good is wrong. DripJoy engineered their own single-serve brewer that's K-Cup compatible. It brews hotter, seeps longer, and is engineered and guaranteed not to break. DripJoy's coffee is premium, sourced from around the world, and delivered fresh to your door. Visit DripJoy.com and build a customized subscription to receive ridiculously good single-serve coffee straight to your home or business each month. Most plans come with a free brewer, and they are offering 15% off to Clever Cookster listeners. Use code CLEVER to get the deal. Start today. Subscriptions are available on a limited basis. So, of course, I've been a fan of Eat Your Books for years and have followed the amazing work that you've done, but tell us the whole story. How does Eat Your Books work, and how did it come about?
So I owned a lot of cookbooks, but if I wanted to find a recipe quickly, I'd go online. I'd go to Epicurious, or Cookster didn't exist in those days, of course. And so I'd go on Epicurious. I'd be able to enter the ingredients I wanted to use, and up would come a list of great recipes. But I wasn't using my cookbooks, and that annoyed me. And I thought if I had a search engine for my cookbooks like I use on Epicurious, then I could find recipes in my own books, and I'd use them more. And then I had one of those light bulb moments where I thought, I can't be the only person in the world that wishes you could search your cookbook. So I came up with a business idea, enrolled my sister, Fiona, into it, and off we went. And that was 9 years ago. We launched the site 7 years ago. And it's now 1.4 million recipes that we've indexed from cookbooks. We added food magazines after a year or so. And then we also added online recipes because we realize people want one place where they've got a search engine for all of their recipes, no matter what the source.
And something that Eat Your Books does that's different than other recipe aggregator sites is it actually pays attention to the copyright of the recipe, whether it's a cookbook that someone owns that allows them to look at all of the recipes in that book. Can you talk a little bit about that and about recipe copyright and the complexities of it that you've learned through creating this business?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the things from the very beginning was that we were very clear that we were not ever going to infringe on the copyright of the cookbook author and the publisher. That's really important for us. They put a huge amount of work into these books. So what we're doing is making the books easier to use, but we're not replacing the book in any way because we don't have full recipes on the site. We direct you to where the recipe is, whether it's a cookbook or a food magazine or an online source. So our search engine allows you to search by ingredients or recipe type or ethnicity or special diets such as vegetarian or vegan or those type of things. And you can use that all in combination. So you can be really precise about trying to find exactly the type of recipe you want. But then you go to the source, you pull out your cookbook, we tell you what page the recipe's on, or you go to your magazine, or if it's an online recipe, you click the link and off you go to the original creator of the recipe. So that side's really important. I think a lot of people are very cavalier about other people's copyright. You know, they'll sort of reproduce recipes online thinking, well, it doesn't matter, I've just changed a word here or there. But those people, those authors, spend a lot of effort and work creating those recipes. They do masses of testing, they write wonderful headnotes, and then people just rip them off. And, you know, we want people to buy cookbooks. We want them to buy food magazines. We want them to, you know, go to the original website that created the recipes so that the people who actually put all the work in actually get something back out of it.
I look forward to that afternoon cup of coffee, but I don't have time to leave the office every day. So I discovered DripJoy.com. Their genius delivery system allows you to customize a unique subscription tailored to your individual or business drinking habits. As long as you're a customer, you'll never run out of coffee. They partner with farmers to ensure that the coffee you receive is harvested responsibly, roasted fresh, and is only high quality. And unlike other single-serve coffee machines, DripJoy will brew any and all K-Cup compatible coffee. They offer multiple packages, some of which include a complimentary brewer, and you have 100% visibility into the pricing and delivery model. Visit dripjoy.com and build a customized subscription to receive really good single-serve coffee straight to your home or business each month. Most plans come with a free brewer, and they're offering 15% off to Clever Cookster listeners. Use code CLEVER to get the deal. Start today. Subscriptions are available on a limited basis. I think that interaction between the cookbook and the technology and technologies that enhance the experience of owning and loving these beautiful and really useful cookbooks rather than replacing them is really important and sort of unique in the world of food technology. What are some things that are exciting to you in food technology today, and what are some trends you see that you're worried about?
Oh, gosh. Well, something that's relevant for us is the whole interplay between print and digital, because that was, you know, sort of what we came up with, that we were really going to be the bridge between your print books but having digital features. Something we're working on now with publishers is to actually take that one step further, that when you buy the print book, you'll have access to the digital, at the actual digital book in the cloud through Eat Your Books. So you'll still buy the cookbook, because most people still want to have print cookbooks. Ebook sales for cookbooks are relatively small, much smaller than for other sectors of publishing. And so you'll actually then have a feature where you can actually access the recipes in the book anywhere, on your phone, you're in the office, you're in the grocery store. You can actually look at the full recipe on that page in the book from your Eat Your Book search engine. And so you'll have all the features that you want digitally, like shopping lists and reviews and ratings, and being able to see the recipe on any device, but you still own the print book, which is what most people still want. They want to have the book. So that's something we're working on right now. So we're really excited about that, because that's really taking that whole interaction between print and digital one step further, where you're getting everything all in one place. In terms of other tech around cookbooks, I think it's interesting about ebooks that why they haven't been successful for cookbooks in the same way as they have for, say, fiction. I think cookbooks are fairly, well, not unique, because there are other sectors like photography where, you know, the big format's important. But I think with cookbooks, people really like the physicality of the book. They want to hold the book. They want to just look through it. They want to write notes on it. They want to, you know, be able to share it with friends and family, those type of things, which you really can't do with digital. So that'll be interesting to see how that trend goes, whether people do start to move more into ebooks as the technology improves. The original cookbooks on digital were not good. They were, you know, very clunky. The reformatting didn't work. They didn't look good. They didn't have a lot of the features that people want. That is improving, though, of course, with ebooks. It's not any better than print books in the sense that the features you have are just confined to each individual book. So what we're trying to do at Eat Your Books is provide those features across your entire collection. So you're not just having the search on one book. You've now got a search, recipe search, across every ebook you own or every print book you own. And we've got other features like links to videos. So if an author creates a video for a recipe or for the entire book, we have links to that from the site. And just today, we've added a new feature where you can upload your own photos of the recipes you take, which we think members are going to love. So, you know, you create something, you think that looks fantastic, upload the photo from your phone or from your computer, and now you're sharing it with everybody else on the site.
That's exciting, too, because it sort of takes the importance of these cookbook recipes, these recipes by chefs and authors that we know and love, and joins them together with the story of how did you learn to make this dish? How did you, the reader, the cook, the home cook, have this experience of looking at lots of different recipes and being inspired and drawing inspiration from multiple sources, which I think is many people's experience of cookbooks. What are some of the first cookbooks that you loved and which have really stuck with you through the years?
Well, funnily enough, the very first cookbook that I owned myself, as opposed to just using my mom's cookbooks, was The Joy of Cooking. And why that's funny is because I lived in England, my parents were Scottish and I lived in England, but my mom gave me The Joy of Cooking for my 13th birthday, which, looking back, it's a bit weird because, you know, The Joy of Cooking, I don't think was that big in England. It, you know, it was really a big American book. So that was interesting in that I've, you know, now lived in the US for 18 years. So I still have it. It's practically falling apart, but I still do have my very first cookbook. Then over the years, that was then I was living in the UK, you know, really got into a lot of the big UK authors like Nigella Lawson and Jamie Oliver and Nigel Slater, those type of writers. And I still have all their books. And then having moved to the States, I was always really interested actually in American cooking. Maybe from that Joy of Cooking first book, I used to subscribe to Gourmet magazine right way back when I still lived in the UK. And so you know, I think I always loved American cooking, American writing. So ended up living here. And then now, probably my favorite cookbooks, the ones I use the most, I love Otto Lenghi. I use all his books. I go a bit more vegetarian now. I'm not vegetarian, but most of the cooking I do for myself at home is vegetarian. And I love Diana Henry, who is an Irish writer who lives in London. Her books are fantastic. I've got all her books. I use her a lot. Dory Greenspan, love her for baking. Her desserts are amazing. I mean, I have a ridiculous number of cookbooks, hence why Eat Your Books is so useful for me. I think I'm now up to almost 2,000 cookbooks that I own.
Wow, so that's amazing.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I do love them, though. I love restaurant books to sort of read through. I don't tend to cook from restaurant books so much. I like more the sort of home cooking type ones. I mean, I suppose Otto Lenghi is he's a restaurant guy, but his books are very much geared towards the home cook.
And through the user data that you have on Eat Your Books, do you see trends in the cookbooks that people are buying and searching for and wanting to use? Do you see sort of things that are emerging as trends in the cookbook demand?
Yeah, it's interesting. We haven't really done that so much, but we're starting to now, particularly with working with publishers on this new EYB digital project. That's one of the things publishers are very excited about, being able to see that data from Eat Your Books of you know, what the trends are, because they don't know who buys their cookbooks. They only know how many they sell overall. They also don't necessarily know what, you know, is happening with other publishers, whereas we've got the whole global picture. And our members are all over the world, so we really do have a global picture of what's going on in cookbooks and cooking. So the big cookbooks that sell, you know, are still the big names, you know, the people who have some type of multi-platform presence like Otto Lenghi. Actually, Otto Lenghi, interestingly, doesn't have a TV show, or at least not internationally, but still has been one of the top selling cookbook authors of the last few years. And then you've got, you know, your other big names, obviously, like Barefoot Contessa and Alton Brown and those type of people. And from the UK, Jamie Oliver and Nigella Lawson. So those type, you know, they're still the big name, the big sellers, the people who are. And of course, the big bloggers like Pioneer Woman, those type of people. They all, you know, they're the real big sellers. But, you know, for the other types of cookbooks, the ones that aren't necessarily the ones that get into the bestseller list, you know, the type of books that people on Eat Your Books love are the ones that tell a story, the ones that have an author voice, you know, that the head notes, like David Lebovich, you know, he tells his story of living in Paris in his books, and he's funny, and, you know, people like that. And Dory Greenspan, she's always got great little stories about how the recipe came about, or the stuff that gives a voice. And I think people really enjoy that. They don't. Our members, and I think people who are really into cookbooks per se, are people who want to have an identity for that book. It's not just a list of recipes. A publisher once said to me recently that, you know, people aren't necessarily just buying recipes, they're buying a lifestyle. You know, they're looking at something that's a story. Like, for example, the Chrissy Teigen book, Cravings, that just came out. You know, people aren't necessarily buying that for the recipes. So the recipes actually are very good, but they're also interested in her and her lifestyle. Aisha Curry, Steve Curry's wife, the NBA player. She's just got a cookbook out. Again, same thing. People are interested in her and her life, and as well as her stories about feeding her family and the recipes.
I think that's right. I think in the end, the reason that Eat Your Books is so unique and special is that it doesn't really take away the recipes from the books. It makes it easier to use them, but it still respects the fact that the narrative and the story and sort of the philosophy of why this person cooks in this way and why they want you to cook this way too is not lost. And that's what people really respond to in cookbooks.
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. I mean, I know I do. When I'm looking through a cookbook, I want to see what the author says about how they created this recipe and what went wrong and what went right and what their family thought and those type of stories. Or you know, and also books from countries outside the US, you know, where you're really getting a bit about the culture and the identity of that country and the people there and the history and all those kind of things, which I think are really important as well. You know, you're sort of living vicariously through those recipes. You're learning about a culture without having to go and visit Burma. You can look at Naomi Duggar's book about Burma and actually learn about the country through the cookbook.
Jane, thank you so much for coming and speaking with us today. This is so fascinating, and everyone should definitely check out Eat Your Books. It's a great resource for cookbook lovers.
Well, thank you, Cara. It's been lovely talking to you. I'm always happy to talk about cookbooks.
Tune in next time on The Clever Cookster, your source for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking.